Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, tonight. Help this preacher, dear Lord, as I just spend a little bit of time bragging on my God. And Lord, I want to magnify you this evening, Lord. So help me do that. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The author of Psalms 34 was a man by the name of King David. He was a remarkable man. In 2 Samuel 23:1, David is called the son of Jesse, and the man who was raised on high, the anointed of God, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a multi-gifted man with diverse credentials and a dynamic character, a man of great variety and amazing balance. As a boy, he could greet the morning with his harp and a song, kill a lion right before lunch, compose a psalm of praise at midday, sling a stone and run off a bear at twilight, lay in the field long after dark looking at the stars and talking to a God who he knew heard him. The Bible pays him a supreme compliment by telling us that he was a man after God's own heart. I want to be that kind of a man. Say, preacher, what was the secret? Why was it that David was a man after God's own heart? Well, perhaps what endeared David so to the heart of Jehovah God was his long life desire to magnify the Lord. He spent his life praising the Lord. Now, I've just given you a great secret. Do you want to be a man or a woman? Do you want to be a Christian after God's own heart? Then you ought to spend a good deal of your time just praising the Lord, just talking up the Lord. And by the way, David did that. It was David who wrote in Psalms 150, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It was David who wrote in Psalms 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. It was David who wrote later in Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord, praise O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. In Psalms 8, David was used of God to pen these words, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy. Thou hast that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Here in Psalms 34, our text that we read, here's another divinely inspired fit of praise that flows from the pen of God's man, a man after God's own heart. David writes this psalm for the express purpose of lifting up the Lord and magnifying the God of heaven. Let's go back and look, if you will, in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Here's the invitation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now, I think this evening, here we're entering into a week where we celebrate the greatest gift that was ever given. Perhaps we should stop and thank the one who gave us the gift. And you know what? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Young people, you know this, but hey, Derek, how you doing? Rebecca, good night. I just saw you there. Amen. Now you interrupted my sermon. I was on a roll there too, all right? Amen. Good to see you here tonight. You know, I know you young people know this, but it's a great habit, a good habit, to make sure that this Christmas season, every single gift that you get, you find and figure out, first of all, who gave it to you. That means you take the time to read the little tag. If you look carefully, I know you young men have never heard this, so I'm going to explain this, all right? There is, on that paper that you're about to rip to shreds, if you'll take just a moment, there's a little tag that says to and from. And you might want to see who gave you the gift before you unwrap the gift. So why? So you'll know who to thank. And let me tell you, God sent his son. You know what? We ought to spend some time just magnifying the Lord, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord for the greatest gift that's ever been given. You know, we could spend good night. How long do you want to be here? We could spend hours exalting the character traits of our God and thanking God for who he is. Can I just give you three and get you started, and then you just roll on ahead through the rest of the week as we praise the Lord together. First of all, I want to thank God for his faithfulness. For his faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I want to just go on public record tonight, letting everyone know that I know that, you know what, God's always been faithful. I wish I could stand here and say that I'd have always been faithful to him, but I can't do that. But I can say this, he's always been faithful to me. I was thinking all through the different times of life, folks, as you go down your timeline, I'll go down mine for a moment, but just think back to how faithful God was to you in your childhood. Whether or not you were raised in a Christian home or not, God kept you and watched over you and preserved you. I mean, good night, that time that I got hit by that car, if it wasn't for the Lord and sparing me. And my mother, of course, has a different story about that, but you do understand she's getting old and her memory's fading and faulty, and sometimes we have to lead her to the car and all of those things. But in my childhood, God took care of me. In my young man years, God took care of me. And by the way, any of these young men that live between 16 and 21, it's an act of direct mercy of Almighty God. Parents, later on, you think you know what they've done, but later on, as they have these gatherings and family gatherings, they'll begin to tell stories when they know they're no longer in your home and you can't kill them. And you'll discover really some of the stupid and dumb things that age group seems to think of. Some of these, I'm looking around at some, by the way, you adults are laughing, but you remember, I was youth pastor here a long time. A long time. There were gatherings of young men having campouts that really were nothing for an excuse to run around in the dark with weapons, BB guns, and shoot at each other. Yes, that was going on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And yeah. Say, how did I find out about this? I was a supervisor in our school. One of the young men came to school one day and had this big, nasty, big red spot right on his nose. I mean, big, swole up, nasty. I didn't want to ask questions because I think, you know, acne is a part of, I don't want to offend the boy. You know, I don't want to be the one that starts the whole pimple face thing and all that. So he's just been big, nasty. And I noticed this, and he's got this on his nose, and I kind of, whoa, I mean, Rudolph, I mean, he was huge right here on his nose. And And then, anyway, later on the date, puts his flag up. And I said, yes, can I help you? And he said, I've got a problem. And I thought, yeah, well, I thought you got Mount Everest on your nose. You got a problem. And I said, what's your problem? He was playing with a magnet, and all of a sudden he took the magnet and put it on his nose, and it stuck there. And he went, and there's magnets, like, what? What's going on? It's like, we were over at Jonathan Reiser's house playing BB gun wars. And I got shot in the nose, and I just thought this was a big scar. I didn't realize the BB was in there still. I had to call his mom. They had to take him to the doctor and cut out a BB. I'm just saying, parents, you think you know. But I want to say this. Thank God that God spared me from 16 to 21, because there's a lot of things and stories that I could tell that I'm going to leave untold here tonight. Hey, folks, God's been faithful. He's been faithful. You know, he got me through my teenage years. He got me through my Bible college years. And you know what? It wasn't that you don't face struggles, but you know what? God is always there. He's there. You say, preacher, there were some things I wish I didn't have to face in my life. I know. Everyone can stand up and testify to that, but can't we also testify that while we went through these things, God was there? We may not have accessed him, but he was there. God is always faithful. I think going into a new year, I want to just take that attribute of God, and I can't be God-like in my faithfulness, but I want to be a reflection of that. I want to be faithful. There ought to be a handful of things that you just aspire to. You know, when I seek motivation, and young people, let me show you how to try to grow in an area that's to just change your whole outlook on your Christian life, and I think some of you already have. But let me get you with this. You know, yes, the Bible tells us that God is a God of judgment. Yes, he's a chastening father. And by the way, he's not afraid to spank his kids. And you know what? There are warnings in the Bible that with disobedience comes punishment. And, you know, we acknowledge that. But I don't think that that ought to be the primary motivation for us wanting to do right. I think at some point we ought to just see how good God is and how faithful God is and how merciful God is, and his compassions, they fail not. That's what the Bible just taught us. And we ought to be in our hearts say, you know what, God, I want to be faithful, not because I'm fearful of your chastening hand. I want to be faithful because you've been faithful to me. And so that's what I want to do. I'm going to be faithful in 2016 in my church attendance. I want to be faithful in my giving. I want to be faithful in my service to the Lord. I want to be faithful in helping to spread the gospel. I want to be faithful to my wife and faithful to my friends and faithful to my family and faithful to do what I'm debtor to do, and that's to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. First of all, let's just take a moment, thank God for his faithfulness. Can I tell you something else about God that I'd like to magnify tonight, put it up on the screen, make it as big as we can? Not only is God faithful, God's good. I mean, God is good. Psalms 73 and verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Psalms 34 verse 8, we just read this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In Psalms 100, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalms 135, verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 145, verse 9 says this, the Lord is good to all. By the way, that's for some of you that are sitting out there saying right now, well, maybe he's been good to the preacher, but he sure hadn't been good to me. You know what? When you get to heaven and you realize what we all really deserve and how good God has been to us, you're going to be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed of yourself for your little pity parties. You're going to be ashamed of yourself for the woe me attitude walking around thinking you got it so tough all the time. God is good to all. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. I've told you this story, and this church knows it, but I went to a camp several years ago. As a matter of fact, it was the very first year that Brother Fugit started the camp down there in Lexington. Brother Smith had opened it up. They had really a very small schedule, just a couple weeks of camp that first summer, and they invited me to come down and preach that first summer. And no buildings. Everything was in a tent. There was just a couple buildings that were already there, but they set tents up. I mean, it was camp. It was camp. Some of these new camps, y'all got air conditioning, spas. What happened to church camp, man? Nobody needs to bring a fan now. They just change the thermostat and get in. What in the world? And camp. But there was a preacher there that had been there before. And he was a favorite preacher of the young people that kind of came to Brother Fugit's meetings. And I had never met him before. I'd heard of him and enjoyed getting to know him. But he walked up to the pulpit the very first night when he was scheduled to preach. He looked at the crowd and he said, God is good. And everybody, as if they were pre-trained, as if they knew the answer, what they were supposed to do. I wasn't one of those. Everybody else, when he said, God is good, they all said, all the time. And then he said, all the time, and they said, God is good. And then he did it again. He said, God is good, all the time. You know, he did that for 7, 8, 9 times in a row, and I thought to myself, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Say, preacher, what's ahead in 2016? I don't know. I imagine pretty much what we've all faced up to this point in our life, which means there's going to be a lot of blessings, and there's going to be some tears, and there's going to be some gain, and there's going to be some loss, and there's going to be some celebration times, and there's going to be some heartache times. But let me tell you something that never changes. God is good. God is good. Just keep that in your heart. Keep it in your heart all during 2016. You know what? Can we once again be inspired by the goodness of God? I mean, God is faithful, so that inspires me. I want to be faithful. God is good, and he's good to all of us. So might not we use that as motivation to just say in 2016, I am going to be good. Watch this. I'm going to be good to people the way God's been good to me. Husbands, let's be good to our wives. Wives, let's be good to our husbands. Parents, let's be good to our children. Children, listen to me. You be good to mom. You be good to dad. Don't cause them heartache. Don't cause them tears. Give them reasons to rejoice. Be good. Listen, you're blessed to have the parents that you have. As we go through life in our workaday world and our jobs, let's just decide we're going to look for opportunities to be good, the same way God looks for opportunities to be good to us. Well, let's watch and see in our neighborhood people that perhaps don't have what we have. Hey, do you live near some older folks? Do you live near some widows? I bet there's nobody in here that doesn't. Hey, you know what? Have their leaves been raked yet? I mean, God's, what happens when the first snow hits? What I'm saying is, folks, there's never a lack of opportunity for the person who says, God is good to me, I'm going to look for a way to be good to others. There's never a lack of opportunity for God's people to share that goodness with others. And let me close the message tonight by saying this. Not only is God good, and not only is God faithful, but I want to remind you of this, and this is kind of our theme for the month. God is holy. God is holy. Now let's just kind of let that sink in tonight. God is holy. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, we read, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Isn't that a statement? I need to preach a whole message on that. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord." Let me just ask you a question. And there's all kinds of folks sitting in here, but you need to listen. Has it become in your heart evil unto you to serve the Lord? How in the world does a Christian get there? Where it's evil. I mean, you consider it evil in your heart to go soul winning. You think it's evil in your heart to live a separated life. You think it's evil in your heart to live a holy life, to do the right thing. Let that sink in a minute. How in the world? You weren't always there. How did that happen? You know what Joshua said? "If it seem evil unto you, God help you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day." Isn't it interesting that God made us with a free will? Every one of us get to choose. "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you serve." But here, Joshua makes the decision. "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord." All the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord God, he it is that brought us up out of our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sights and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." Now watch this. Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord, serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that you have done good." And the people said to Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." You know, that's what we ought to rise up and say. But you know what he was cautioning? He said, "Preacher, it almost sounds like Joshua was discouraging them about making a decision to serve the Lord." No, he wanted them to understand it was a serious decision. There's a lot of people who want to come forward and say, "You know, I'm going to give my life to the Lord." And you know what? Maybe we need to handle that moment differently, Brother Joe. Maybe a preacher needs to say, "Come here a minute. You understand that you are saying that you will serve a holy God, a jealous God. Yeah, I want to give my life to the Lord. By the way, here's all my sin I'm going to bring with me. Here's my worldliness I'm going to bring with me. Here's all my carnality. Preacher, find me a place. I want to serve God. He's holy. He's holy." Joshua wasn't trying to discourage those people from making the same decision. But when Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," he knew. See, he'd been up on that mountaintop with Moses. Read the story. He saw the holiness of God. It wasn't a game with him. He heard these people. He lived with them. He watched them. He heard them speak. He watched their lifestyle. And now all of a sudden, in a moment of emotion, they say, "We will serve the Lord." He said, "Wait a minute. You can't serve him. He's holy." You know what he was basically saying? If you want to serve him, then some things are going to have to change. And folks, listen to me. I want to remind you of this, that God's not going to lower his standards so that you can be comfortable where you're at and come and be a good Christian here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He's always going to insist that we raise our standards to his level. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, we read this, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." First Peter, God inspired Peter to write, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And so, yes, we serve a faithful God. And you know what? It's easy to get amens when you talk about God's faithfulness. We serve a good God. Oh, yes, I want God to be good. Hey, do you want him to be holy? Do you want him to be holy? You see, if you're going to serve the Lord, you have to understand you serve a holy God. By the way, if you're saved, he gave you his Holy Spirit. He gave you a book also. It's called the Holy Bible. And he expects us to be a holy people. Holy people. Back in the day, I was pastoring the church over in Brazil, Central Baptist Church over in Brazil, Indiana. And I was bivocational. I was had a lawn care business and drove a public school bus and had a little storefront church. And was me and Cheryl was just roll up our sleeves, go to work every day and serve the Lord and try to win people to Christ. And when I got that job driving that public school bus, and you know that your preacher says this all the time. I don't believe anybody has any job for by accident. I believe there's ministry opportunities everywhere you go. And man alive, how could I get on that public school bus? And I'd leave. I was a sub driver for several years, and then I was a part-time driver, kind of filling in a little more hours. And then they gave me my own route, and I would drive. Me and Cheryl lived right there where 59 and 70 intersect, just down the frontage road there. I'd park the bus right there, and every morning I'd drive to Poland, Indiana, to pick up the Polacks over there in Poland, Indiana, and bring them to school. And small community, really kind of a tight-knit community. Not a whole lot of kids, but they had to be transported. And I drove over there and picked those kids up for school. And you know what? How can you watch, as a Christian, let alone a preacher, as a Christian, how can you watch these kids get on the bus, understanding the Bible, and not just begin to pray as they get on, Lord, help them, help me somehow to get the gospel to them. Help me somehow to see that they're saved. There was a young lady that rode the bus that I believe was a born-again Christian, but she'd gotten caught up in this new beginnings of what has now come out as the contemporary Christian movement, and went to a church, but it was a very worldly church. And as soon as I started picking her up on the bus, she kind of looked at me. For one thing, I'll tell you something, folks, and I've done this. Listen, when I worked at UPS on the docks in Chicago, okay, I mean, every night I walk in there, I take my King James Holy Bible with me, and I lay it on the desk there with all of my other gear. And you know what? I'm not going to leave. I don't understand people leaving your Christianity at home. Forget this, being a Christian one day a week and then blending in with the heathens for 6 days a week. That's, listen, if America ends up going to hell and we lose this country, it's not the abortion crowd and it's not the sodomite. It's Christians that are cowards that won't live out their faith in the community. So I just decided a long time ago, you know what? I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And I'm not going to be ashamed of the Lord. And so I'd carry my Bible. You know what I did when I got on that bus every day? I laid right there my King James Holy Bible. Well, preacher, good night. Separation in churches. I'll make some of you nervous right now. You know what? We need to stop being intimidated. I dare you. You just take my Bible from me. I dare you to tell me that I can't carry a King James Bible on a public school bus and lay it there beside me while I'm driving picking up kids. Well, this girl spotted that thing pretty quick. And she came up. We would pick all of the kids up and take them. Now, if you've ever driven, anybody here ever driven a school bus, public school route? Anybody ever done that? Okay, let me tell you. Mornings are great. They're all like zombies. They don't want to be there. They haven't really gotten awake. They just kind of wander on the bus and just kind of do this. Okay, then for 8 hours, teachers are telling them, sit down, be quiet, sit down, be quiet, sit down, be quiet. Now they turn them loose on you, and they are sick of sitting down and being quiet. And so the ride home was a party. I mean, it was, that's where you earned your money, was on the ride home. And she'd get on the bus, and she spotted that Bible, and she'd come up to me after I first started her out. After a couple of days, she got the courage to come. She says, hey, you a Christian? And I said, yeah. And she said, I'm going to tell you something else. I know. I said, what's that? She said, you're a preacher. And I said, here I am. I didn't go like this to drive the school bus. You know, I wouldn't dress like this. And I said, how'd you know I was a preacher? And she said, oh, you all have that preacher look. What's that mean, Brother Derek? I didn't even ask her what. I thought it's going to be too discouraging. I don't even know what. She said, you got that preacher look to you. And I said, okay, guilty as charged. What's your name? She said, Amy. And she started riding the bus. Well, she'd come up and sit, after we'd get about half the route dropped off, she'd come up and sit behind me with a couple of the kids, and she'd talk about the Lord. And by the way, I believe born-again Christian. And, you know, there's a lot of saved people that aren't in the best of churches, folks. There really are. And they're sincere. And they just, a lot of them just haven't been taught. And so she started questioning me. You know, I was trying to figure out what kind of Christian I am, you know, what kind of preacher I am. And she said, she said, most of the kids on this bus, they're not saved. I said, I know. I said, I'm learning their names. And I said, every single one that gets on every single day, I pray for them. And when they get on the bus, I pray that they'll get saved. She's like, you do? And I said, yeah. She said, you know what? They need Jesus. I said, yeah, I know. I got evidence of that in front of me every day. They need Jesus. And I said, I'll tell you what, we ought to start praying about that. Why don't you start praying too? And I said, I'll try to figure out, we're going to plan some youth things at our church. I'll try to figure out a way to get some of these kids in. Let's work towards that. And so she came up with me the next day and she said, hey, I got an idea. And I said, what? She said, there's a Christian rock concert this weekend. And she said, you think maybe that you could help me invite the kids and we'd go to this Christian rock concert? And I said, that's probably not going to happen. And she said, why? And I said, I don't know if I really go for the whole Christian rock thing. Well, she got defensive. And she said, well, wait a minute. She said, hey, listen, kids like rock music. I mean, that's their music. That's the kind they listen to. So you use it to get them to come to this thing. Only we then sing songs about Jesus to the rock music. And at the end of it, somebody speaks the gospel to them and kids will get saved. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty smart. That is brilliant. I said, let me just think about it. All right, she took off the back of the bus. And after a few minutes, I'm like, Amy, come here. And she comes up and I said, hey, is any of the kids, any of the kids on this bus smoke? She's like, yeah. I said, do they? Yeah. So they like cigarettes? Yeah. I said, I got thinking about what you're telling me. We ought to start a Christian tobacco company. Yeah. I was thinking maybe John 3:16 cigarettes, you know, if we could just package Christian cigarettes and then on the back of the pack, we could put the Romans Road. And she went, and I said, wait, I'm not done. I said, some of them drink, sneak off. And she's like, yeah, some of them. I said, how about this Romans Road beer? Romans Road beer. Yeah. We'll get our own brewery and we'll produce liquor and beer and, you know, kids are going to buy it. We might as well use the opportunity. I mean, if they like it, let's just attach the gospel to them. Okay. Come on now. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. We can't forget this. God's message is a holy message. And God's Son is our holy Savior. The angel told Mary, this holy thing that you have inside of you that you're carrying. Called Jesus a holy thing. You know, even when Jesus died, the Bible says they wrapped him in clean clothes and laid him in a manger. You know what we're doing now? We're wrapping Jesus in filth. We're justifying anything and everything as a vehicle to get Jesus to the people. Folks, listen to me. Say, preacher, what's the difference? The difference is that we recognize here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that God is holy. Amen. And he's got to be presented in an atmosphere of holiness. Amen. Okay? We can't drag him through the gutter of sin and worldliness and then present him to a lost and dying world. And after I said that to her, she's like, that's terrible. We can't do that. And I said, listen, kiddo. I said, rock and roll music appeals to the flesh. And I said, the flesh. I said, I gave her a couple chapters. I said, I want you to read Romans 8. I want you to read the book of Galatians. What you're going to find out is this. The flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And you know what? You can't spend 2 hours exciting the flesh and then all of a sudden expect the Holy Spirit to come swooping in the midst of that atmosphere and people be saved. Listen, you know what? There is a better way to reach these kids for Christ. We've got to do it in a holy way. And a few months later, by the way, we put on anybody here, how many of you have heard while he was alive, ever heard Jim Delaschmidt, heard him preach before? Several of you have. He was actually the man who founded the St. Louis chapter of the Hell's Angels and lived a wicked life, a crazy, terrible life. But you know what? He had a praying mother who would not quit praying until he came to church and was born again. And next thing you know, he's a pastor in Posen, Illinois for years. And I got a hold of Brother Dell Schmidt, and I said, listen, I'd like to have you come down on a Saturday night. I said, I got a group of young people I'm burdened for, and I want to put on a event here at the church, and we're going to have a good time and a big youth rally, but I want you to give your testimony. And you know what? I parked my bus, and I got in my car, and I went back, and I visited every one of those kids. Oh, you can't do that. Stop letting the world say you can't do stuff. When I was on the bus driving, I was the bus driver. When I get in my car and go over there, you know what? I'm the preacher. I just happen to know where they all live now, amen? And I went and visited every one of them. And I got, by the way, I got every single, there's probably about 20 junior high and high schoolers that rode that bus. And I got every single one of them to come to that rally except for four. One mother was a mother of three, wouldn't send her kids. And one boy was out of town that weekend and couldn't come. And every single one of those young people, when Jim Della Schmidt got done preaching, walked forward and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, folks, listen to me. This whole idea of, well, you know what? You can't be a independent, fundamental, bad, separated. You can't have standards and reach young people. Folks, listen to me. We had more young people in this church in our bathrooms than most people had in their church this morning in this community. It's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil that you have to compromise. You know what, folks? Listen to me. What I'm saying is this. God's not going to compromise when it comes to holiness. God's a holy God. Got back on the bus Monday morning after we had this big rally on Saturday night. Those kids on the way home. Well, on the way, you say, does Christianity change people? It doesn't on the morning route because they still walk in. They're still tired. They still stayed up too late. And they still sleep. But on the way home, a testimony meeting broke out on a public school bus. And they all got up near the front. They were all telling the stories about how they got saved and talked about Brother Della Schmidt. And you know what was so cool? Watch this, folks. We told them that there was a former member, former leader of the Hell's Angels come in. They all walked in. And you know what they were looking for? Watch this. But we need to learn something here. They were looking for some guy with a ponytail and a leather jacket. Because that's what the contemporary crowd would have brought in. You know what they saw instead? A man who had been transformed from the inside out. And yes, if you're transformed on the inside, it will make its way to the surface. Yes, it will. I'm not saying it'll happen right away, but it'll make its way to the surface if you're serious about serving the Lord. You know what? They're all looking around saying, where's the motorcycle guy? Where's the motorcycle guy? And I point up to him. They're like, him? He got up and sang and testified and preached, and those kids went forward. We were scrambling around trying to lead kids to the Lord. There was only so many in that young church. There was only so many soul winners, and man, I'd have to send a few over here, and then I'd work with some, and I'm not sure if y'all weren't there that night. Did you come over for that? And so Blessed Hope people were there, and they were helping win people to Christ, and with the few people we had were helping win people to Christ, and we only had so many places to take them in this, so I don't know if this was smart enough, but one of the soul winners took about three guys in the boys' bathroom, and he sat on the toilet. It was shot, but he sat on the toilet and had them on the floor and led them to the Lord. And one of the boys was telling that story. He's like, yeah, I was in the bathroom. I said, I didn't even know this. I said, why were you in the bathroom? That's where the guy took us. I said, you got saved in the bathroom? He's like, yep, the Lord flushed my sins away. I swear. I almost wrecked the bus. I was laughing so hard, I almost wrecked the bus. And I mean, one after another, jumping up, and they're telling this story. And they're telling about the, getting saved. Yeah, I was over here, and remember that story? I mean, and the three girls that was part of the one family that wasn't allowed to come, you just sat there, and, you know, they were tolerating the thing. And then the one boy that was out of town, he was like, you know, he's listening to all this. And so the last two, I dropped everybody off, and the last two people that I would drop off would be this young man, and I'm trying to think of his first name, and I'm sorry, but this young man. And then I dropped Amy off. She just lived 100 yards down the road from where he lived. That would be the last two people I dropped off. And so when we got down to where it's two of them, she came up with this boy, and he's got something he wants to tell you. And I said, okay, what do you want to tell me? And he's like, he said, Jerry, and they called me Jerry, you know, he said, Jerry, he said, oh, man alive, all those kids are talking about getting saved and knowing that they're going to heaven. You know how many times I've worried about that? And I don't know. I mean, you can know that. You can know for sure that you're going to heaven. She's like, I told him you could. And I said, yeah, you can. He's like, well, I want to get saved. And I said, you mean now? And he said, yeah, now. I say, preacher, you didn't. Oh, yes, I did. No, you didn't. Oh, yes, I did. The last building before we got to this house was an old liberal United Methodist church. I pulled the bus into the parking lot, took my King James Holy Bible, led that kid to the Lord on a public school bus, dropped him off at his house, dropped Amy at her house, and she, when she got off the bus, she said, preacher, she said, you know what? Your way's better. That's what she said. She turned around and looked at me. She said, your way's better. You know, let me tell you something. It's not my way. Amen. Folks, God's way's better. Amen. You know what? Let's not forget God's a holy God. Hey, listen, have you gone backwards in your separation from the world in 2015? I mean, if we were to go and get in a time machine and see where you were a year ago or 2 years ago and where you are now, have you gone away from it? Listen, God hasn't changed. You can get around and you can partner up with a bunch of carnal people. You can get on Facebook and convince yourselves that anything and everything goes. But the honest truth is, if you get by yourself, by your bed, and open a holy Bible and listen to the Holy Spirit of God, you know what you'd figure out real quick? Heading towards the world's not the ways of God. And God has called us out of the world to be not like the world. And folks, listen to me. I mean, we've got people here that have been saved for decades, and we've got people here that's been saved just for a few weeks. And you know, wherever you're at, you ought to head towards a holy God. Because as you head towards a holy God, you know what you're going to find out? You are going to begin to change. And you're going to have to, if you're going to maintain proper fellowship with him, you are going to have to begin to make changes in your life. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So I look at God tonight and I say, God, thank you for being faithful. And then I look in the mirror and I say to Jerry Ross, you need to be faithful. I look at God and I say, God, thank you for being good. And then I look in the mirror and I say, you know what? You've got to be good. You need to be good. And then I look at a holy God. I think, God, you're so holy. And then I look at the mirror and I say, I want people to see a reflection of a holy God in my life and how I speak and what I do and where I go and where I won't go. That's what I want. And I hope you want it too for 2016. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for just being who you are. There's so many more character traits. Good night. We could take off on this and preach for a year. Lord, what a great week to just as Christians lift our hearts to heaven and thank you for sending your son and recognize you for who you are. Lord, help us to be a praising people. Help us just to learn to praise you. I pray, dear God, throughout each and every day, there'll be times where we just stop in our heart and just praise you and thank you and uplift you and magnify you. Magnify you to people around us. Lord, make us a praising people. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be good. And Lord, without your help, we can't. We can't. We can't be holy. We can't live a holy life without your help. So we ask, please, each and every day, we would be surrendered to the control of the Holy Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit. We'd keep ourselves away from sin, flee temptation. Lord, that we'd get as close as we can to you. And please, Lord, with your help, make us a holy people, we pray. In Jesus' name.